This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are halfway home on a Monday. Bennett Woods, 97.3, The Fan. So fantastic and fabulous to be with all of you listening. However you choose to consume this show and all the other shows on the station as well, we really appreciate it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. That's not Paul Reindel. That's Bald Reindel over there. Adam Klug, our boss. Do you get mad when people make fun of you for being bald?
You bald, or do you choose bald to be bald?
Because there's hair.
My head.
He just shaves his head.
He has a bit of male pattern baldness.
Right, I don't mind people making fun of me or anything. I got plenty of confidence. It's all
but,
good.
Like, if you grew your hair out, you probably wouldn't look bald.
If I grew my hair out, able to imagine what that would look like.
Bald Reindel is my new favorite bit of all time, by the way. We have Italian Paul.
He'll be in tomorrow. Right?
It's Frank Marchese. He texted me, Adam, a couple of weeks ago. Did you know this? Hold on. Ben Higgins is also here. Sorry. Yeah. You're not bald. You're
the other guy whose name is on the show.
Right. Italian Paul, Frank Marchese, who I love and adore, texted me a couple weeks ago. He goes, all right, man, this was weird. I just got stopped at Petco Park, and somebody said hello to me as Italian Paul. And it kind of made me happy for a minute, and then it kind of broke my heart. Because he's Frank Marchese. He's not Italian Paul. It's just a little fun nickname we've created, but now he kind of rolls with it. So I'm like, I've kind of blown it for this guy. He wants to be known as Frank from the station, not Italian Paul.
There's been a number of radio people who were saddled kind of with nicknames by their hosts that just stuck forever. And weren't their names, but that's what they had to be known as for the rest of their lives. We had
Baba Booey doesn't go by Gary.
He goes by Baba Booey.
Yeah,
that's true.
When I started back in the old Mighty 690 days, we had a great update anchor, Karen Kay. But then they started in the morning calling her Shoshana Krzyzewski, and then she became known as Shoshana Krzyzewski.
Why did they do that?
I think it was just kind of a funny bit. Yeah.
Huh. Like Hacksaw.
Yeah, like Hacksaw. I think he saddled himself with that name.
But saddling oneself with a nickname is weird.
Kendry Morales with a home run. Vladimir Guerrero had key hits along along the way.
Never gets old.
And the Angels batting order. Angels batting order just
just fight through it.
Wore out
get a drink
Red
of water.
Sox pitching staff.
Take a sip. You don't need to fight through that.
See the Angels batting order tonight.
Yeah, we will see the Angels batting order tonight. Adam, did you ever have a nickname? Kluger? I call you Kluger.
A lot of people call me Kluger. And early in radio, there was AK-47, but
I don't think that's appropriate anymore.
Agreed.
Right? AK-47. He loved that one. That sounds like one he made up for himself.
Definitely not.
It sounds like that you did. But Bald Reindel is the new, when Adam is in, Bald Reindel is the new, that's what we're going to call you from now
Caitlin
on.
Caitlin says I have an egg-shaped head. Thank you, Caitlin.
Yep, I do too. My wife says I look like a thumb.
Isn't that what a normal head is somewhat egg-shaped? That's not a weird shape for a head.
People with square heads.
I have a square-ish head.
Square-ish. Yeah, the top. Is a little bit square.
Yeah.
Today is National Simp Day, so I wanted to wish all of the Ben and Woods simps out there. I simp for you.
Machine Gun Klug, MGK.
MGK, Machine Gun Klug. Again, I'm going to pass on that one these days, Adam. Bald Reindel, though, is going to stick. It really is. So National Simp Day, Ben.
Like a simpleton? Like someone who's not that smart? I don't, then. I thought it was short for like simpleton.
Someone, so I simp for Manny Machado, and I'll wear that.
Well, I thought you stand for him.
I do that too. It's excessive sympathy and attention toward another person, typically someone who does not reciprocate the same feelings in pursuit of affection or a sexual relationship. Let me clarify. I do not. I am not asking Manny Machado for an affectionate or sexual relationship. I just appreciate the guy's game. That's it.
I totally was wrong about what simp meant.
Right.
I thought it was just meant for people who are very... I'm kind of a simp, but, you know.
There are things that you're
easy to please,
simpleton
very,
about.
Yeah. A little bit naive simpleton, about things. Simpleton. I just thought I was a simp.
Simpleton sounds so mean, though. Like, if somebody calls you a simpleton, you're like, oh,
Forrest
man.
Gump was
yeah,
a simpleton.
Bit of a simpleton. Yeah, yeah, but it is. Yeah, Caitlin says she's a simp for Jake Cronenworth. Never met one of those myself, Caitlin. But, yes, Ben did just say he is a simp. Yeah, Andres says, Woodsy looks like the thumb characters from Spy Kids. My wife calls me a thumb, and it's the most cutting and insulting. She says, you look like a thumb. Yeah.
It's like you're shaped like a thumb.
Yes, look at, look. It works, doesn't it? It really stings when she says it, too. And she says it in such a, like a cutting manner, but gets a laugh every time. Happy Simp Day.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, we already broke the news of Adam Mazur. Yeah. Is it Mazur or Mazur?
I guess we'll find out.
Yes, we will.
When he shows up and he can really educate us on the pronunciation of his last name. I'm going with Adam Mazur.
Mazur.
For now. But
I'm going to go with Mazur.
Mazur?
Yeah. So here's what I got. I've got some inside scoop here. Mazur is fun, sits around 95 with the four-seamer. Big thing this year as compared to last. Fastball went up a few ticks, got a much better change, and uses a curve, too. At El Paso, obviously the ball really doesn't move, so pretty much fastball and slider guy there. Home runs that he gave up in AAA, four. Two were in Vegas, where you and I are a threat to go deep, meaning me and you.
Yeah. Well, we've seen plenty of pitchers who have had ERAs in the sixes and sevens at AAA, El Paso, come up and then pitch pretty well for the Padres.
Absolutely.
That's not... You can't look at the ERA in the Pacific Coast League and say, well, that guy clearly can't get it done in the big leagues. It's different. You got a better defense behind you. Petco Park is nothing like pitching in some of the ballparks in the high altitudes and thin air of the Pacific Coast League. Randy Vasquez went down, and he had a bad ERA in AAA, and he came up and gave the Padres some quality innings on Saturday. So, hopefully the same will happen for Adam Mazur when he comes up tomorrow to pitch against the Los Angeles Angels.
Now, you just said Mazur.
Mazur.
You said Mazur, and
Mazur.
I said Mazur.
Mazur. You said Mazur.
I said Mazur, and you just did, too.
I was trying to just walk the line between both. So
Adam
I can,
Mazur.
Mazur. Adam Mazur.
Well, I'm excited to see him. I mean, look, we're going to need... This is going to be... We say this all the time. It's actually dumb to say. This is going to be a really interesting stretch for our San Diego Padres. Some beatable teams
I just watched some highlights on YouTube of Adam Mazur, and it looks like... It sounded like the announcer said Mazur.
Mazur. That's how my grandmother from Texas says measure. Just so you know. Mazur it. Okay, I will. Wash that. All right. I'll wash it and Mazur it. So Adam Mazur. We're sure about this?
No.
Okay.
Best guess at this point.
Okay. Cool.
And usually rookies aren't all that insistent on name pronunciation at the beginning. Like, remember the old punter for the San Diego Chargers, Mike Seifers.
Seifers.
Who was known as Mike Seifers for the first, 9 years of his career until he finally said, hey guys, I'm not Mike Seifers, I'm Mike Seifers.
Seifers.
And so you sometimes don't get the correct pronunciation right away on players' names. If they're not sticklers about it, they can let that run for a little bit. So,
okay.
That just because it's Mazur today doesn't necessarily mean it won't be Mazur in 6 months.
Fair enough.
From now. By the way, Padres do face another tough lefty today. It sounds a little bit like a broken record, but after Cole Reagan's yesterday, Tyler Anderson's going to be the lefty on the mound tonight, and he has been really good for the Angels this year. For a bad team, he's got a 2.47 ERA and 5 wins. He also has 5 losses, but not getting a ton of offensive help from that team. So they will open this series once again against the kind of pitcher that has given them the most trouble this year. And while they did win 2 of the 3 against the Marlins with all lefties on the mound, they once again struggled yesterday against Reagans. Now, he was nasty. I'm not saying that Reagans hasn't done that to other teams, but the Padres have had trouble getting it going against left-handed starting pitching, and I do imagine this game will be a little dicey depending on, you know, if they can keep that offense going that we saw a lot of good things from over the weekend, but they're once again going up against their kryptonite tonight in a strong left-handed pitcher in Tyler Anderson.
Yeah, but they're on the road, so where they like to eat. They like to eat away from Petco Park. The numbers I saw over the weekend, Benny, I'm pretty sure they still are true. There was a graphic that they showed, I think, on the broadcast. I mean, we are first in every single category on the road this year. Number one. Best, you know, most this, most that, most best batting average, best. I mean, it is insane how good this team has been away from Petco Park. And, I mean, look, we said the same thing last week. You just hope that holds true. As long as they're on the road, just continue being dominant on the road. And again, we all know kind of what the goal is of these next 3 games. What would you say the goal would be? Knowing the San Diego Padres this year, our skipper Mike Shildt, what the goal
winning
would
be. Winning the series, yes! Is probably the goal.
Yes, yes. I'm not going to alibi it if they don't. Sweep. But I think you have to win this
Well, is year. This going to make you nervous? Padres have the best home record or the best road record in the National League at 19-11. The Angels have the worst home record in baseball at 7-21.
Wow.
I mean, this is the perfect setup for the San Diego Padres.
It's like our World Series right now. I mean, this is like you have to win this. You have to dominate these guys.
Yeah, the Angels are actually 14-17 on the road.
It's not bad.
That's fine. There's good teams that play a couple of games under 500 sure. on the road. They've been terrible at home this year. Really awful. And obviously, you know, they don't have Mike Trout. Otani's gone. So there's no longer the main threats in the offense that they don't have. And that's been huge for them.
Paul Dreindl is looking at me. What?
Well,
what?
When I was in here with you guys the other day, and I ate a couple of the jelly beans, yeah. right? And someone asked me, what would it take to eat a handful of jelly beans?
Sweep.
If the Padres sweep the Angels.
You will do it. I'm not doing it again.
I will eat a handful of the jelly beans.
Thank you.
Deal. Deal. Yeah,
there's nothing that's going to make me say that.
No, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. But yeah, we will definitely do that. Yeah, these guys are mashing on the road, man. Mashing on the road. Mike just said, has anyone seen we're leading the league in batting average? Yeah, they're hitting the ball well. They're not slugging a ton, but you know they're continuing to win series, and as we know, that's what we like.
Now I don't know if the bullpen is ready to go. I mean, Suarez and Estrada and Wandy all had the day off yesterday. Are they good to go 2 in a row if they needed them the next 2 days? Or is Mike Shildt going to have to continue to be a bit careful with his bullpen usage over the next 3 days, depending on...
Mike Shildt's going to have to be careful with his bullpen usage for the next...
For the rest of the season.
Yeah. But especially now with Joe being out and you being hurt as well. I mean, look, if there was ever a time to work the phones, and I'm sure he is... Try to get another starting pitcher. This would be the time to do it. Because do either of us expect both of those guys to come back and be ready to go for the rest of the year? No, I don't. I really don't. I wish I could say that I believe that they would. We need it. But at some point, man, you're going to have to find another starter, maybe two.
I am glad for one thing. We just talked about Mike Trout and how his career, I don't want to say wasted, but,
not wasted, but
obviously he has never really gotten to play massively on the postseason stage at the end of the year. In hockey last night, Connor McDavid is kind of sort of been a bit of the Mike Trout of the NHL. No one gets to see him play up in Edmonton, but they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals, so he's going to get a chance to really... be on the national stage. Unlike Mike Trout, has never gotten that opportunity. He's going to get that opportunity. And, you know, they advanced. The Florida Panthers advanced over the weekend. I'm such a casual hockey fan. I am like what sometimes people are for college basketball, where they don't start watching until the NCAA tournament. Or if there's baseball fans who don't watch until the playoffs.
Sure.
I will really watch almost no regular season hockey. Once the playoffs start, I'll kind of flip in for a half a period here or there on some of the games, especially if there's a game 7. And then once the Stanley Cup Finals are on, I'll pretty much turn those games on.
Yeah.
Now, this is not, this series, Florida Edmonton, is not exactly a TV network executive's dream. It's a Fort Lauderdale suburban Florida team against a team in the furthest nether reaches of Canada. It's also a terrible series for the travel between the two teams. I saw this is the championship series with the most distance ever.
You're joking.
Between the opponents. That's the terrible. Tip of Florida all the way up into somewhere in Alberta, Canada, that they're going to have to go back and forth for the games in the Stanley Cup final. So it's not exactly the ideal matchup, but you do have two good teams, and you do have a superstar in Connor McDavid that hopefully will draw some attention and eyeballs for the Stanley Cup finals, which will begin on Saturday.
Now, there was an Edmonton fan that drew my attention and my eyeballs. Did you see her?
I did see that, yes.
Go Oilers. I mean, how could after my beloved Stars were knocked out, I mean, you have to root for them now. Also considering moving to Edmonton.
If you didn't see it, there was a she flashed.
She did.
The crowd at the Edmonton game.
Solid. As solid as solid could be.
It doesn't take much to sway Woods.
It does not. No. It does not. It does not.
Honestly, Woods might become a Dodger fan if enough flashing, Dodgers fans did flashing at the games, I think.
Can't do it. It's the fan base.
All right. Let's take a quick timeout. If you want to join us and talk some Padres baseball, you can. 833-288-0973. Also, this surprised me, but Woods apparently made a new friend during our show last Friday. And I want to give a little update on where that stands. Is that fair?
I don't know what you're talking
about. All right. Well, you'll find out when we come back with the rest of us after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations to Robert Suarez, who was just named the National League Reliever of the Month for that very long month of May. 7 saves, 7 opportunities, 0.73 ERA, 0.57 whip. Think about that. That's just over half a base runner per inning. It's hard to put together a rally against Robert Suarez when he's only giving up half a base runner per inning. 136 opponent average. Suarez is certainly a contender for the All-Star game for the San Diego Padres. Emmanuel Clase won the award in the American League. You would expect to see Robert Suarez at the All-Star game in Arlington, Texas.
I don't care.
This summer? You don't care. This hour on Ben and Woods is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So I said before the break, Woods made a new friend on Friday, and he gave me this blank look, like you didn't understand what I was talking about. But you told me when you came in this morning that you watched a ton of the USD baseball game, and were actually texting with Brock Ungerich about his son, who was, you found out, same age one year younger than Bo.
His name's Ben.
And you want to get them together to, you know, practice baseball a little bit. Unfortunately, his season came to an end this weekend. Really, really exciting and good game. So we talked to him on Friday, right before they were about to play Utah or Oregon in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And that game went to extra innings, had a big home run to tie it, got to the 11th. Oregon scored, and they had a chance, but could not bring home the winning runs, and the Toreros fell into the loser's bracket. It's so hard to come back from that, because then you have to win, I think, four in a row to get through the regional at that point, or five in a row. They did win on Saturday against Fresno State in the elimination game to advance to Sunday, but yesterday gave up a couple of early two-run home runs. Jacob Christian, their star, got one back to 4-2. But they were never able to get all the way back, and they lost to UC Santa Barbara, the host, 4-2, ending their season. And UCSB will play Oregon now in the championship. UCSB will have to win twice. Oregon needs to win once. Did they play? They actually played last night. I don't even know who won last night.
I don't know.
Actually,
I just watched USD, and then I was done.
You were done.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know, he's a really good dude, man. And this was interesting, because this kind of came up over the weekend. I was texting with him, and he said, thanks for asking the question today about our youth. He said, it's a huge deal to me with crazy coaches and young kids. This game is so hard. It kills me to see kids get burned out and quit because of their experience. I'm all about supporting this game and our kids for the right reasons. I know you're about that as well. Want to make sure we can help promote our game with the kids in a positive way.
That's cool.
Phenomenal. But I got a phone call over the weekend from a dear friend. I'll keep his name private. And he was talking to me about his son, who's 7. And he called me because I need to vent. And I said, fire away, man. I'm here for you. So he called me. And was talking about the league that they play in and how competitive it is. And again, he's 7 years old. Didn't make the all-star team, probably should have, but they send the older kids. And so he went out to watch the tournament. He's got a couple of buddies with kids in there. So he went out to watch a tourney. Said there was an opposing coach there without his kid, scouting, an 8U game. Scouting. Had his notebook, his chair, and he was scouting 8U baseball. And I go, I don't know that I'm cut out for this.
For like looking for weaknesses that his team can attack when
they're 8U. They're 8. And I thought to myself,
are they tier 1? Are you scouting opponents?
No. Come on. Right. I thought to myself, I'm in for it, man, because Bo's now done with T-ball. And we start, you know, his assessment with Frozen Ropes is on Wednesday. I'm a wreck about it. And once we start getting into, you know, it's all dependent on what he wants to, not what I want for him and not what Hannah does. You know how hard it's going to be for me to be coaching or watching, and there's another dad like that that's like that hardcore about 8-year-olds. Now, I'm pretty stern with my T-ballers, but it's mostly like, hey, pay attention so you don't get smoked in the face. That's what it's about. Hey, when your coach is talking, eyes up. Normal stuff.
Yeah.
Not how you rounded the bag at third. You know, not how if you boot one. It's about being a good teammate. It's about learning how to play as a team.
Life lessons.
Not baseball lessons. And when I heard that from my buddy, I go, bro, I don't know if I can handle this. That's just me being as honest as I can be. I don't know if I can handle. What am I going to do when I see some dad chewing out a 14-year-old umpire over a game when Bo's playing and he's 8 years old? Also, don't be that dad. That's what I'm also telling myself. But there's no reason, there's no excuse you could give me. None that makes that okay. Scouting an 8U game. There's nothing you could tell me that's going to change my mind. Nothing.
My son is seven. Mm-hmm. He plays in a league 7 to 9, and I'm one of the assistant coaches. And we found out about a week or two ago that there's been tons of cheating in this league.
How?
Coaches are switching up the batting order in the middle of the game, meaning like, I'm using fake, like, assume Machado hits, three batters later, they're putting their Machado back in. So they're letting their kids, they're moving around, so they're getting multiple at bats. There's a rule where you have to play, each kid has to play in the infield at least 2 innings.
Sure.
So you can't just stick the worst kids out the outfield. They're not rotating their players. We found out that one team was letting their sunglasses so that it would reflect off the sun and hurt and affect the batters. And there are rules They are 7 to 9. There's rules in the rule book that the pitchers can't wear sunglasses. And it's intentional to the point that when the inning ends, they were going into the dugout, taking the sunglasses off and handing them to the next pitcher. And the pitcher was wearing long sleeve white
can't wear white.
Which is against the rules because you can't pick up the ball.
Yeah.
And the pitchers were doing that and they're getting called out on it. Then in the championship, the semifinals, one of the teams was arguing about the score, saying that they thought it was tied when they were really down one. They're contesting the outcome of the game.
We
played by the rules the whole year, and we found out about this. We found out that right before the season started, after the evaluations and the draft, my head coach, drafted a kid, and another coach goes, oh, you know what? He's a family friend. He's been on the teams forever. Do you mind if you just let me have him? And my head coach goes, okay, sure. And he gave him the kid. That manager then turned around and traded that kid to another team. They're trading kids to other teams.
Parents of little kids that play sports, we have lost the plot here. I could do an hour and a half on this, and maybe we will at some point. Scouting an 8U game, cheating, and not putting your mixing up the lineup, wearing sunglasses and white sleeves to get an edge in 8U, you should be embarrassed.
Absolutely.
You should be embarrassed. And I will die.
The problem is that while everyone we talk to and will say it really is best, have your kids play multiple sports, make sure they're having fun. Don't put extra pressure on them. That's always the advice we get from people who have made it even to the big leagues. But unfortunately, the kids who get ahead tend to be the ones who get to play the travel ball and are taking it more seriously. And the ones that get left behind then don't get the same opportunities as those ones that have the crazy parents who are doing all this stuff. So ultimately, they're being rewarded for their kind of insane behavior. And that's what has to kind of stop.
You know, and people have made the joke, as soon as I had a son, people made the joke about me like, oh man, you're going to be the dad that like throws something onto the field and has to go watch the game from the minivan. I won't. I would potentially be the dad that gets in a fist fight with another dad that's being an absolute DB. 100% about things like this. It happened to me when I coached Little League, my very first time. This guy was stealing my catcher signs, and wasn't even slick. He was going, fastball, curveball. And after the game, I got in this guy's face. Parents, I'm just going to tell you this again. Think about it. Think about what you love so much about your kids playing sports. Try to keep the plot. We have lost it. We've lost it. It's gone. And I, as a dad and a coach, I don't know what to do. Do I turn him over or do I just try to create a team full of good, hardworking kids and just not be a jerk? Then, like, try to change the narrative by doing it the right way that I see it.
So there's another wrinkle to this story. The manager who caught the other teams cheating in a playoff game and called them out to the umpires, blah, 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 blah. A parent of one of the kids on the team that was cheating walked around to the opposing dugout to the manager who called them out, said, you better be careful walking to your car after this.
You are effing kidding me.
Physical threats of violence.
We've lost the plot, man. We have lost the plot. And we need to find it. And I don't know how you do it, but we have to. It's a business. Now, my buddy said he went to this tournament. He said, Woodsy, I'm not kidding you when I tell you there were 800 people at this tournament. They had these kids had 3 games in one day. 3. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. If you're running a league and you're listening, do better. Do better. That's terrible.
We need to take your time out. Sammy Levitt is going to join us. In-season Sammy, talk some Padres baseball on the other side, but an interesting topic that I think we can definitely stretch out a little bit at some point.
We're about to have years of content when I start, when this all starts up. Dude.
We'll be right back with Sam next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Sam Levitt was on a wild ride this weekend with the Padres series in Kansas City. We will revisit that with in-season Sammy, who's going to join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Now, we heard earlier, I saw that Matt Scravey was doing the postgame show on Saturday, and Adam told us that Sammy went to a wedding on Saturday. So let me ask you, as we welcome Sam Levitt, our Padres pre- and postgame show host, on to Bennett Woods, was it a good wedding, Sam?
It was. It was a beautiful wedding in La Jolla, and it was right on the water. So it was very, very pretty wedding, very well done, a lot of fun. And thank you to Adam and Scraby for letting me get out for a late afternoon, early evening, and going to a nice affair on a Saturday night here in America's finest city. So I had fun. It was really, really nice. A beautiful wedding.
Are you guys over weddings? I'm good if I'd never go to another one. I've had enough, I think.
You know, it's funny. You would think I've been to more weddings because I'm right at that age where a lot of people are getting married. But I have not. I have a lot coming up this year. Late this summer, I've got one that I've got to figure out, and then into the fall. But I've missed a lot. I mean, honestly, I used to miss like every wedding during baseball season and would religiously not take games off, which I think I've realized a few years later is kind of silly.
Yeah.
To miss every event and every wedding. And if it's a really, 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 really good friend or obviously a family member, I think I'm learning as I go that you got to try your best to make those things. So I'm getting there though. Like this next stretch through the end of the year, I think is the busiest wedding season I've ever had. So I'm looking forward to it. I like a wedding. Weddings
right,
are fun.
I'm over it, Sammy.
Food,
I'm
dancing.
Old. I'm old, though.
Well, I don't know. Sammy never reveals his age, but I think he's more in that wedding-going age.
Yes.
Kind of the late 20s, early 30s. Yeah. You go to a lot of them, and we did. And then it kind of dies out a little bit as you get into your 40s, and either your friends are already married or they're not
getting their third
or they're not getting married, and they're not inviting you. But I will admit, I feel bad. I declined, actually, a wedding in a couple of weeks. My cousin is getting married in Northern California, but it's on a Sunday night, which means I wouldn't be able to do the show on Monday or anything.
I'll give you money.
I said no.
I'll just give you money. I'll just give you like lots of money so that I don't have to go, which is what you want.
But I have a question, though. Yeah. I have a real honest question for Woods in particular.
Yes.
So you're telling me that even now, you wouldn't enjoy getting out of the house, maybe leaving the kids at home, taking your wife to a nice event, having a good time? That wouldn't appeal to you?
No, not even a little.
Okay,
No, I'm a curmudgeon. I'm a homebody, and I like to be at my house with my kids and my wife. And I don't really like to leave for a
lot. I mean, it's a pre-planned event. So, you know, you show up one place, you got dinner, you got dancing and entertainment, and everything's right there.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to go to a wedding.
Mm-mm. Let's give you money.
All right.
I'll give you $500 if I don't have to come. That's good. You take that. You don't need me there.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't need me there.
No, we don't need you.
I don't dance.
We don't need you.
I don't do bits out there. I just like to be at home watching baseball.
I mean, you've performed some weddings.
I have. Yeah. Don't ask me anymore.
All right, Sammy, let's get to some Padres baseball here. Obviously, Mike Schilt is going to say that was another series victory against a good winning baseball team that is currently 11 games over 500 on the road. And, you know, he's right. And yet we continue to be left kind of with this slightly sour taste in our mouths at the end of every Padres victorious series. It's almost weird at this point that we're kind of in the same spot. Like, yeah, they're doing exactly what they need to do, but why don't I feel better about it every time?
Yeah, I think two things can be true at once, right? I mean, you zoom out, and let's live in a world where they would have won yesterday's game. They would have been 19-11 in the span of 30 games. So when you consider that, and they're 18-12 in that same span after yesterday, but when you zoom out a little bit, it really struck me when I was looking at things pregame yesterday, and I said to myself, wow, I mean, there is some truth, and more than some, but a lot of truth to, hey, they have won 8 out of 10 series, and you look at a span of 30 games if they won yesterday, and it would have been 19-11 in a span of 30. And you're like, that's a good baseball team. That's a baseball team playing really, really well, even if it doesn't feel like they've quote-unquote taken off. But with that said, they didn't win yesterday, and you felt like there was a missed opportunity on Wednesday against the Marlins with Yu Darvish on the mound, a real opportunity to, you know, kind of put your foot down and sweep a series from a team that you feel like you should be able to sweep against. So I think both things are true. I think this team continues to win series, which is great. They continue to play, for the most part, a pretty good brand of baseball. They continue to slowly, you know, get a little bit more above 500. But again, you look at it yesterday, and hey, you could have ended that series 4 games over instead of heading to Anaheim, you know, 2 games over. And it does feel, even though the games on Wednesday and Sunday were really, really different. Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're still in that 2 steps forward, 1 step back, so on and so on kind of thing that quite frankly, you know, we've kind of felt with this team for the last year plus now. So I really think they still need to find ways to really put their foot down in some of these series. Look, again, the 2 games are very different during the series this week, but yeah, it's still that, you know, even if, you know, Mike Schilt doesn't love the word, it does still feel like kind of that roller coaster, right? Because there's the ups and downs of every series rather than feeling like they've really started to quote-unquote take off.
Man, I don't know about you guys. I mean, games like yesterday, they're tough to drop. But games like last week against the Marlins, those are sure. I can't stomach those. I mean, the Royals are trying their ass off to salvage a game, right? They're trying so hard to salvage a game. They know that you're weak in your bullpen because of the last 2 nights. They saw an opportunity. They took it. The game against the Marlins, you just shouldn't have even come to the ballpark. Like, those are the games that I can't stomach. I can handle yesterday. It sucks, but that was a good-ass baseball game between 2 good baseball teams. Like, yeah. I have no problem with that. The uncompetitive games are the ones that murder me, Sammy. And, you know, the other thing that's been a bugaboo for this team is playing down to some inferior competition. Please don't forget, the Royals are a really good team, and they're an elite team at home. And so now, when you look at the schedule, you go, oh, boy. You got 3 against the Angels, you got 4 against the D-backs, and then 3 against the A's. And then the Mets.
Yeah,
and so, like,
right.
This is where I hate making hay. I hate saying making hay. But this is where you have to charge ahead, surge ahead.
Making hay isn't even that fun.
It's,
I mean,
not
what do you
fun.
Do? It's
time to make love.
Makes you sneeze.
Let's
make something better than hay.
Yes, let's make love. The next 1, 2, 3, 7, 10, 13 games. You know, get nasty right. These next 13 games. Show up. Don't roll over. Don't play down to inferior opponents. And, you know, many will say, well, how do you say they're inferior? You know, you're 2 games above 500. I'm sorry. If you've watched this team all year, you know that the ceiling is higher. And this is how you move up.
Yeah, I think the very glass half full way of looking at the first 62 games is that you're sitting 2 games above 500 when you've had to deal with 2, I think, pretty difficult things. Number one, the schedule.
Yep.
And number two, the fact that your big guys, really aside from Fernando lately, you know, have not produced for the level that you would expect them to produce. And you've dealt with some pitching injuries. You've dealt with Joe Musgrove being unavailable for an amount of time. You've dealt with the ups and downs of the rotation. You've dealt with some of the ups and downs of the bullpen. And it does feel like they've been able to very much in an overall sense tread water. So I'm with you,
Woodsy. Yeah, tread water.
Yeah, I'm with you, Woodsy. I think you look at certainly the series against the Angels. I mean, the Diamondbacks, I think, are better than what their record has shown so far, but you got 4 against them. Then you said it, Oakland and the Mets coming to town. So you look at the next 2 weeks, and there does appear to be an opportunity there to really pick up some steam. But, you know, the big question is, can this team do that? Because we've seen them struggle with teams that you feel like they should beat, you know, before, and obviously some of the struggles at home. But, look, I think in an overall sense, when you look at the last month, you consider, you know, some of the things they've gone through in the first 62 games, it certainly feels like they've been able to very much tread water. They're right in the mix when you talk about, and I know we're way early for this still, but when you talk about postseason position, but it does feel like right now is a time where you got to go rattle off some wins. So we'll see if they can do it.
Talking to Sam Levitt here on Ben and Woods. And Sammy, I've got a question for you, and actually probably for Woods and Adam and maybe even the roundtable later this week. But I start with an admission. I cheated on you yesterday, Sammy. I was driving back from the desert, and we were in the mountains, so I had no internet access to stream your pregame show, but I did have my satellite radio on, and they were only broadcasting the Kansas City Royals pregame show. So I'm listening, and their pregame host is doing an interview with the Royals GM, A.J. Piccolo is his name. And they talked about how good the Padres are. Like, hey, this is a really good team that came in here. And he said, they have an aura about them. This is a Padres team with guys who have won before, with players with some swag that come in, and they're just a really good team. So my question to you, Sammy, do you buy what A.J. Piccolo was selling, that the Padres are a team that other teams look and go, that team has that aura about them, that they're a special team? Would you agree with that?
Well, I think the potential for that special team has always been there, right? I mean, look, I think individually there's a lot of aura, and that's a word that the kids love to use, right? When you talk about sort of the quiet confidence of somebody like Manny or the swag of a Fernando Tatis Jr., and there are other guys you can point to as well. I can certainly see where when the Padres come to town, you look at their roster, you look at what some of these guys have accomplished, you think about the flair that some of these guys can play with. I do understand that. Look, obviously the overall results on the field when you go back to last year have not been what people wanted, but I do understand when the Padres come to town, they're feeling like there's an aura around this group because of I think the flair they can play with and quite frankly the way they've played on the road and some of the personalities on this team, guys like Manny and Fernando and Ha-Sung Kim, guys that I do think have a lot of swag and carry themselves that way, whether you want to use the word aura or swag or what have you. So I do understand that perspective when the Padres come to town, yes.
Sammy, appreciate it. Back to work tonight. Got a 5:38 EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Very specific, weird 6:38 start times all next 3 days in Anaheim. We will hear from you then.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
It is interesting. And, I would never say cheat on Sammy, but it's interesting to hear other teams' perspectives of your team. Because I would have never said, oh, yeah, the scary Padres are coming to town. But that's exactly how the Kansas City Royals, even though they had a better record than the Padres, they viewed the Padres coming in as this is a team, they've got some swag, they've got some aura. My son said, yes, that is a word that people use a lot. Kids nowadays use aura. He's got aura about him.
Riz.
Riz. Aura.
Love the word riz. I wish I used it more.
And that is how other teams look.
Yeah, perceive.
At the Sandy and perceive the San Diego Padres. I don't necessarily know that our fan base feels that way about our own team.
Our fan base hates our team. Are you kidding me? They hate them.
Mike Schilt would really be better off talking to other teams' fans. They all agree with Mike Schilt.
He should go on mornings in Kansas City. They'd be like, he'd be like, this is the most positive interview I've ever had.
So rest assured that even though we may not have that level of confidence, like Angels fans right now are going, oh no,
right?
Here comes San Diego Padres.
And vomiting in our hands because we don't want to lose to the Angels.
A little bit different. All right, we'll come back. He's reluctantly going to do a Klug report.
Can't wait.
Filling in for Pauly Reindl as we begin our final hour of Bennett Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Sam Levitt was on a wild ride this weekend with the Padres series in Kansas City. We will revisit that with in-season Sammy, who's going to join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Now, we heard earlier, I saw that Matt Scraby was doing the postgame show on Saturday, and Adam told us that Sammy went to a wedding on Saturday. So let me ask you, as we welcome Sam Levitt, our Padres pre- and postgame show host, on to Bennett Woods, was it a good wedding, Sam?
It was. It was a beautiful wedding in La Jolla, and it was right on the water. So it was very, very pretty wedding, very well done, a lot of fun. And thank you to Adam and Scraby for letting me get out for a late afternoon, early evening, and going to a nice affair on a Saturday night here in America's finest city. So I had fun. It was really, really nice. A beautiful wedding.
Are you guys over weddings? I'm good if I'd never go to another one. I've had enough, I think.
You know, it's funny. You would think I've been to more weddings because I'm right at that age where a lot of people are getting married. But I have not. I have a lot coming up this year. Late this summer, I've got one that I've got to figure out, and then into the fall. But I've missed a lot. I mean, honestly, I used to miss like every wedding during baseball season and would religiously not take games off, which I think I've realized a few years later is kind of silly.
Yeah,
to miss every event and every wedding, and if it's a really 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 good friend or obviously a family member, I think I'm learning as I go that you got to try your best to make those things. So I'm getting there though. Like this next stretch through the end of the year, I think is the busiest wedding season I've ever had. So I'm looking forward to it. I like a wedding. Weddings
right,
are fun.
I'm over it, Sammy.
Food,
I'm
dancing.
Old. I'm old, yeah. Though.
Well, I don't know. Sammy never reveals his age, but I think he's more in that wedding-going age.
Yes.
Kind of the late 20s, early 30s. Yeah. You go to a lot of them, and we did. And then it kind of dies out a little bit as you get into your 40s, and either your friends are already married, or they're not
getting their third
marriage. Or they're not getting married, and they're not inviting you. But I will admit, I feel bad. I declined, actually, a wedding in a couple of weeks. My cousin is getting married in Northern California, but it's on a Sunday night, which means I wouldn't be able to do the show on Monday or anything.
I'll give you money.
I said no.
I'll just give you money. I'll just give you like lots of money so that I don't have to go, which is what you want.
But I have a question, though. Yeah. I have a real honest question for Woods in particular.
Yes.
So you're telling me that even now, you wouldn't enjoy getting out of the house, maybe leaving the kids at home, taking your wife to a nice event, having a good time? That wouldn't appeal to you?
No, not even a little.
Okay,
I don't. No, I'm a curmudgeon. I'm a homebody, and I like to be at my house with my kids and my wife. And I don't really like to leave for a
lot. I mean, it's a pre-planned event. So, you know, you show up one place, you got dinner, you got dancing and entertainment, and everything's right there.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to go to a wedding.
Mm-mm. Let's give you money.
All right.
I'll give you $500 if I don't have to come. That's good. You take that. You don't need me there.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't need me there.
No, we don't need you there.
I don't dance.
We don't need you there.
I don't do bits out there. I just like to be at home watching baseball.
I mean, you've performed some weddings.
I have. Yeah. Don't ask me anymore.
All right, Sammy, let's get to some Padres baseball here. Obviously, Mike Schilt is going to say that was another series victory against a good winning baseball team that is currently 11 games over 500 on the road. And, you know, he's right. And yet we continue to be left kind of with this slightly sour taste in our mouths at the end of every Padres victorious series. It's almost weird at this point that we're kind of in the same spot. Like, yeah, they're doing exactly what they need to do, but why don't I feel better about it every time?
Yeah, I think two things can be true at once, right? I mean, you zoom out, and let's live in a world where they would have won yesterday's game. They would have been 19-11 in the span of 30 games. So when you consider that, and they're 18-12 in that same span after yesterday, but when you zoom out a little bit, it really struck me when I was looking at things pregame yesterday, and I said to myself, wow, I mean, there is some truth, and more than some, but a lot of truth to, hey, they have won 8 out of 10 series, and you look at a span of 30 games if they won yesterday, and it would have been 19-11 in a span of 30. And you're like, that's a good baseball team. That's a baseball team playing really, really well, even if it doesn't feel like they've quote-unquote taken off. But with that said, they didn't win yesterday, and you felt like there was a missed opportunity on Wednesday against the Marlins with Yu Darvish on the mound, a real opportunity to, you know, kind of put your foot down and sweep a series from a team that you feel like you should be able to sweep against. So I think both things are true. I think this team continues to win series, which is great. They continue to play, for the most part, a pretty good brand of baseball. They continue to slowly, you know, get a little bit more above 500. But again, you look at it yesterday, and hey, you could have ended that series 4 games over instead of heading to Anaheim you know, two games over. And it does feel, even though the games on Wednesday and Sunday were really, really different, yeah, I mean, it feels like we're still in that two steps forward, one step back, so on and so on kind of thing that, that quite frankly, you know, we've kind of felt with this team for the last year plus now. So I really think they still need to find ways to really put their foot down in some of these series. Look, again, the two games are very different during the series this week, but yeah, it's still that, you know, even if, you know, Mike Schilt doesn't love the word, it does still feel like kind of that roller coaster, right? Because there's the ups and downs of every series rather than feeling like they've really started to quote-unquote take off.
Man, I don't know about you guys. I mean, games like yesterday, they're tough to drop. But games like last week against the Marlins, those are sure. I can't stomach those. I mean, the Royals are trying their ass off to salvage a game, right? They're trying so hard to salvage a game. They know that you're weak in your bullpen because of the last two nights. They saw an opportunity. They took it. The game against the Marlins, you just shouldn't have even come to the ballpark. Like, those are the games that I can't stomach. I can handle yesterday. It sucks, but that was a good-ass baseball game between two good baseball teams. Like,
yeah.
I have no problem with that. The uncompetitive games are the ones that murder me, Sammy. And, you know, the other thing that's been a bugaboo for this team is playing down to some inferior competition. Please don't forget, the Royals are a really good team, and they're an elite team at home. And so now, when you look at the schedule, you go, oh, boy. You got three against the Angels, you got four against the D-backs, and then three against the A's. And then the Mets.
Yeah,
and so, like,
right.
This is what I hate making hay. I hate saying making hay. But this is where you have to charge ahead, surge ahead.
Making hay isn't even that fun.
It's, I mean, not
what do you
fun.
Do?
It's time to make love.
Makes you sneeze.
Let's
make something better than hay.
Yes, let's make love. The next 1, 2, 3, 7, 10, 13 games. You know, get nasty right. These next 13 games. Show up. Don't roll over. Don't play down to inferior opponents. And, you know, many will say, well, how do you say they're inferior? You know, you're two games above 500. I'm sorry. If you've watched this team all year, you know that the ceiling is higher. And this is how you move up.
Yeah, I think the very glass half full way of looking at the first 62 games is that you're sitting two games above 500 when you've had to deal with two, I think, pretty difficult things. Number one, the schedule.
Yep.
And number two, the fact that your big guys, really, aside from Fernando lately, you know, have not produced for the level that you would expect them to produce. And you've dealt with some pitching injuries. You've dealt with Joe Musgrove being unavailable for an amount of time. You've dealt with the ups and downs of the rotation. You've dealt with some of the ups and downs of the bullpen. And it does feel like they've been able to very much in an overall sense tread water.
So I'm with you, Woodsy. Yeah, tread water.
Yeah, I'm with you, Woodsy. I think you look at certainly the series against the Angels. I mean, the Diamondbacks, I think, are better than what their record has shown so far, but you got four against them. Then you said it, Oakland and the Mets coming to town. So you look at the next 2 weeks, and there does appear to be an opportunity there to really pick up some steam. But, you know, the big question is, can this team do that? Because we've seen them struggle with teams that you feel like they should beat you know, before, and obviously some of the struggles at home. But look, I think in an overall sense, when you look at the last month, you consider, you know, some of the things they've gone through in the first 62 games, it certainly feels like they've been able to very much tread water. They're right in the mix when you talk about, and I know we're way early for this still, but when you talk about postseason position, but it does feel like right now is a time where you got to go rattle off some wins. So we'll see if they can do it.
Talking to Sam Levitt here on Ben and Woods. And Sammy, I've got a question for you, and actually probably for Woods and Adam and maybe even the roundtable later this week. But I start with an admission. I cheated on you yesterday, Sammy. I was driving back from the desert, and we were in the mountains, so I had no internet access to stream your pregame show, but I did have my satellite radio on, and they were only broadcasting the Kansas City Royals pregame show. So I'm listening, and their pregame host is doing an interview with the Royals GM, A.J. Piccolo is his name. And they talked about how good the Padres are. Like, hey, this is a really good team that came in here. And he said, they have an aura about them. This is a Padres team with guys who have won before, with, you know, players with some swag that come in, and they're just a really good team. So my question to you, Sammy, Do you buy what A.J. Piccolo was selling, that the Padres are a team that other teams look and go, that team has that aura about them, that they're a special team? Would you agree with that?
Well, I think the potential for that, you know, for that special team has always been there, right? I mean, look, I think individually there's a lot of aura, and that's a word that the kids love to use, right? When you talk about sort of the quiet confidence of somebody like Manny or the swag of a Fernando Tatis Jr., and there are other guys you can point to as well. I can certainly see where when the Padres come to town, you look at their roster, you look at what some of these guys have accomplished, you think about the flair that some of these guys can play with. I do understand that. Look, obviously the overall results on the field when you go back to last year have not been what people wanted. But I do understand when the Padres come to town, they're feeling like there's an aura around this group because of I think the flair they can play with and quite frankly the way they've played on the road and some of the personalities on this team, guys like Manny and Fernando and Ha-Sung Kim, guys that I do think have a lot of swag and carry themselves that way, whether you want to use the word aura or swag or what have you. So I do understand that perspective when the Padres come to town, yes.
Sammy, appreciate it. Back to work tonight. Got a 5:38 EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Very specific, weird 6:38 start times all next 3 days in Anaheim. We will hear from you then.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
It is interesting. I would never say cheat on Sammy, but it's interesting to hear other teams' perspectives of your team. Because I would have never said, oh, yeah, the scary Padres are coming to town. But that's exactly how the Kansas City Royals, even though they had a better record than the Padres, they viewed the Padres coming in as this is a team, they've got some swag, they've got some aura. My son said, yes, that is a word that people use a lot. Kids nowadays use aura. He's got aura about him.
Riz.
Riz. Aura.
Love the word riz. I wish I used it more.
And that is how other teams look.
Yeah, perceive.
At the Sandy and perceive the San Diego Padres. I don't necessarily know that our fan base feels that way about our own team.
Our fan base hates our team. Are you kidding me? They hate them.
Mike Schilt would really be better off talking to other teams' fans. They all agree with Mike Schilt.
He should go on mornings in Kansas City. They'd be like, he'd be like, this is the most positive interview I've ever had.
So rest assured that even though we may not have that level of confidence, like Angels fans right now are going, oh no,
right?
Here comes San Diego Padres.
And vomiting in our hands because we don't want to lose to the Angels.
A little bit different. All right, we'll come back. He's reluctantly going to do a Klug report.
Can't wait.
Filling in for Pauly Reindel as we begin our final hour of Bennett Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.